now on to today's show. I have Miss Nick. Hey, girl. How you doing today?
Hey.
How you doing?
I am good. How are you doing?
All right. Doing all right. That's like Kendrick Lamar be saying, we gonna be all right. So, Nikki, just please introduce yourself for the listeners, nationally and international, just to kind of learn about who you are.
Well, hello, everyone. I am poet, curvy plus model, singer, writer, community activist, and soon to be minister, Nikweta Nikki Wolf. And I pray all is well today.
Okay. And girl, we're just so gracious to have you on this episode, taking out of time on your busy schedule, because you told me just a second ago that you are driving and you delivering food. So you on the front lines too, girl.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm an essential employee.
So I hope that the listeners today just truly enjoy this episode, just as they heard, and, you know, just kind of learn about you and how you're a survivor of so many different things, and you still like making stuff happen. So, because you got dreams and you got goals and aspirations, and girl, you done gave all these nice titles. How do those intertwine? What's your story?
Well, as an activist is someone who campaigns to bring about political or social change. And with that being said, as a model, I practice activism pretty much for the plus size community, because it's a struggle being a plus size model within the mind as well as within the industry. So I'm working to let people know that you can be beautiful no matter what size you are. So when I model, I don't just model for me. I'm modeling as a role model. And then as a poet, I write to pretty much inspire from the dealings of my own pain. I like to say all the time, a good song came from the heart because that person dealt with what they're singing about. And a song is only a poem with a hook to it. So when I write to inspire, again, making a difference in the world around me. And then as far as me being a community activist, like I just said, I love people. And I used to tell people all the time, like, sometimes I would feel like I was meant to be here to put a smile on people's face, because when I see it happens, like, the joy it brings to me, oh my God, especially a child, like, it does something to me that I can't explain. So I'm for people. I am for people, period, in everything that I do.
That's a great, definitely great way of putting it, because, you know, people wear a lot of hats, and, you know, folks always wonder, like, how do those put those things together? How does that work? So it's great to have activists like yourself that's utilizing, like, all your skills to make things happen and to, and to promote different things into the community, as well as just other people internationally seeing what you do on social media. So that's really, really great.
It's good.
Hey, that's the head of all our lives. So, if you had to tell someone who is looking to utilize their story and gifts, what would you suggest that they do?
To sum it all up, I would just say pray and ask God for guidance, because, like, that is how I have made it this far. If Lord have mercy, that's the only way I got here, because there were so many times where, of course, we when we want something, we want it right then and there. So we're anxious for it. And we want it right then and there. Like, of course, we got to put in work. But, okay, God, how long do we have to wait? What is it going to take for us to get there? What do I got to do to get there? Where do I have to go to get there? And so we're just, like, ready for it to happen, but not thinking about the fact that everything takes a process. It's just like baking a cake. If you try to bake a cake from scratch and you don't have an egg or flour, how do you know the cake is not going to cook properly? Because the process just, it didn't go through well. And so if we don't go through the process, then we're not going to get to where we're trying to go. So it takes dedication. It takes hard work. It takes a mindset full of positive thoughts. Even when the negative ones come, we have to, like, release that. Because just like Philippians 4:6 said, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And, you know, he told us we have to ask him for what we want. And he will give us what we want. But if we don't ask, then he's not going to give it to us. And so I had to learn to pray. I had to learn how to pray. And then he started answering. I'm like, okay, God, we on the soul, big dog. I got you.
Absolutely. And you actually said a word there. Because a lot of people do believe in this, like, microwave society. Like, everything can just kind of be put into this bowl. And I'ma just see if it's going to happen just inside that bowl. Put it in some type of heating source and it's just going to happen. But it doesn't work like that.
Yes.
The only heating source we need is the individual that we pray to, which is the Lord. Or whoever other individual's higher power is, because, you know, I don't want to disrespect anybody else's, you know.
Right.
Yeah. But that's exactly what you have to do. Is, you know, pray and watch things manifest. Of course, you do have to do some work, because, you know, prayer without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. But both, actually. Like, you have to put something in place. Something. Of course, like, he gives us all the vision and all the opportunities and all the tools that we need, but we can't just sit there and have it in our mind and we not gonna do anything with it. Like, it's
right.
Like, it's probably some folks now, and this, you know, one of the great things about kind of I took the break from the podcast for like a couple weeks and I came back with these episodes is that, you know, at this time, a lot of us are sitting at the house, or we might be sitting at work, mm-hmm. kind of not doing anything, but that's a perfect time to kind of plan out some things, kind of manifest some things, kind of put down on paper. Okay, this is how I see mm-hmm. myself in the next 6 months. Lord, can you grant me all the tools and people to run across and things that I need to make this happen? But at the same time, once I put it on paper and once I prayed about it, I still got a couple more steps to do. I can't just sit on it. So this definitely, you most definitely said a word there. Definitely.
Yes, ma'am.
So, and you mentioned about a leap of faith, which one thing our listeners don't know, is that Nikki is actually from Mississippi.
Yes.
And she now currently resides in Atlanta, in the Atlanta area, metropolitan, right? Because you don't stay like in Atlanta, but you stay like in our outskirts, is that right?
No, I'm actually in the Atlanta area.
What? Okay. The big A.
Yes.
So she moved from Jackson, Mississippi to a bigger city. Or even bigger city, even bigger and
much, faster. Much, much bigger.
Could you kind of inform the listeners about, like, the leap of faith that you took over a year ago to move to Atlanta?
Oh.
And what were some of the barriers?
I think I would call it a jump of faith, a dive, though. I did more than leap. I actually had a dream about one of my friend guys from the past. there was two guys that came up to me. One had a balloon and one had a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And so one guy gave me the cell phone. And it was my friend from the past on the phone. And he simply said, "I miss you," and hung up. And then when he hung up, the other guy gave me the balloon. And so it's like, I was standing there and everything around me just started turning around real fast. And I was in a new environment. I didn't know where I was. And I'm like, okay. So I woke up and that was that. And then about a month later, he actually hit me up on Facebook and was like, you know, "You kicked me to the curb." And I thought about him. I'm like, oh my God. So, you know, conversed with him for a little while, ended up texting again. And I was talking to him on my lunch break one day. And he was telling me about how he moved. And he basically took a leap of faith his own self. And so I'm like, you know, if he can do it, I can do it too. And so he was just like, if it's urging you, if it's bugging you, if it won't leave you alone, that's how you know it's meant for you to go. And so I'm like, okay. So immediately when I clock back in, I apply for the job. And I'm like, okay, so, you know, I just did this. And I always said, one day I'm going to leave Mississippi. One day I'm going to leave, not knowing when, where, how it's gonna happen. And so I ended up actually getting the interview, and I'm like, oh snap, okay. And so they called me, and it was actually for two different positions. So I was interviewed for two positions at one time by two different people. And I'm like, oh wow. And so when we got done, she asked me which one did I want. And I'm like, oh wow, okay. And so I told her, and then she was like, all right. So they were like, you know, "We're going to interview other candidates. We'll give you a call if we feel like you're fit for the position." So I'm like, okay, cool. And so I was a floating teller, which basically means that I would help out at other branches when they needed help. And no, I would just travel to their branch for that day. And so I had to work in Hazelhurst this day, and the branch manager there actually prayed before work. And she knew that I was in the process to get another job. And she, this day, tapped me on my shoulder and said, "You got the job." And I'm like, what? And so, you know, just speaking prophetically. And I'm like, okay, all right. And so it was almost a month by then. And then something told me to just start packing. So, you know, I was obedient. I just started packing. So my mom was like, "What are you doing?" I said, "You know, I'm leaving here." So she said, "What you talking about?" I said, "I really don't know, but you know, I'm just gonna keep packing." And so she's like, "Okay." And so I think it was September 8th, if I'm not mistaken, they called me and offered me the position, and I like to pass out. And so, mind you, I have not found an apartment. I have not visited Georgia to go see where I'm gonna stay. I did everything over the internet. And so another, you know, leap of faith. And I just prayed like, okay, so just go before me, whatever apartment you want me to stay in, let me stay there. You know, make sure it looks like this here, you know, I'm safe. Okay. And so I ended up finding someone on the internet or whatever, and paid my deposit, got all that out the way. And so I honestly didn't even know if the apartment was going to be ready or not when I got here. I didn't tell my daddy or my mama that because I didn't want to hear their mouth. But, you know, they were just going to try to talk me out of it anyway. So I just kept it to myself. And so, of course, when I got here, it wasn't ready. And so I had to stay in a hotel for a week. I came here with nothing but me, my focus, my clothes, and a blue mattress. And I'm riding around with all my stuff in the car for a whole week. I have nowhere to put it. People still, and I'm like, they see I'm not from here. But okay, God, here we go. And the hotel was the best, but you know, I made it through. And so about the Thursday, I got a call saying that the apartment wasn't going to be ready for another 2 weeks. And I'm like, the devil is alive. This is not happening right now. Like, this is not how my move was supposed to go. And so I'm like, you know, a little frantic, called my grandma crying. And I'm like, you know, okay, I'm gonna be okay. I'm gonna be okay. And so she was just like, keep praying about it. And I'm like, all right. And so I got a call the next day saying that it would be ready that Friday. So I ended up moving in that Friday instead of in 2 weeks. So everything was, you know, going pretty smoothly. It was a little rough on my finances, but I made it through it. And then my church actually took up a love offering before I left and sent me here with literally just enough money to even be able to get the room. So I knew God was in it, but, you know, again, going through the process, it was a little rough. And so I'm good. And then January rolls around, I get hit by an 18-wheeler. And I'm like, what? I was confused. I was really confused. And I called my uncle crying, like, did I make the wrong decision? Was I not supposed to come here? But again, it worked itself out going through the process. And I found out that I had a cousin that stayed literally 2 to 3 minutes away from my job. And so she called me and was like, you know, come stay with us. You can, you know, we'll get you to work. And at that time, I'm like, okay, my car is totaled. I can't get to work. That means I'm gonna have to move back home. I refuse to believe that I was brought here like this for me to go back home like this. Not, I wouldn't accept it. I would not accept it. And it worked itself all out. And then I had other cousins that stayed here, and they were like, I say about 20 minutes from where I was in the accident. So they were there to get me to the hospital, because if they wouldn't have got me to the hospital, then I don't even know what I would have did as far as getting back home. I didn't have my keys. I had to ride in the ambulance to get to the hospital, thank God, because I don't even know how I was going to leave the scene. So, again, it all worked itself out. And so, after that, you know, it was still a little rough. I ended up finding a home church here, and then I got more active because I didn't have a social life. I was only going to work, going home, and I wasn't doing anything. You know, I was still scared to get out and go places, but I'm better now. I am better now. But, you know, again, I had to go through the process, and all of this was my lesson of faith. This is how I learned how to be faithful. And that is the story.
Wow.
Yes.
And, like, you said some great points in your story, because, you know, people think that, like, once you make that leap of faith, that everything is going to be smooth. And a lot of times, you know, I guess our lives are paved with good intentions, but sometimes things happen along the way. It gets a little bumpy, but you still have to continue to move forward, because apparently there was a vision. The vision and the goal has not still been met, and you're still there, and you're still pushing, and you're still pursuing. So that's really, really good. And I hope that, like, the listeners are actually taking this story in.
Please.
And maybe thinking of, like, situations that they may have endured in trying to take a leap of faith, even if it's not moving, but just doing something just fairly new. Because, like, things are always uncertain. Like, the vision is there, but it doesn't mean that every step of the vision is going to be there. Like, you might end up dealing with something that, you know, you may think, like, okay, well, this is going to be just a total blowout of my, you know, my final goal, but it might not be. You might can use that as a stepping stone. So that's really good, Nikki. Like, I didn't know that. Girl, we be talking. Well, we called back up. I didn't hear that part. So that's amazing. You made it through, and you're still pushing and pursuing. And like you said, the devil is a lie. So.
Now, I'm not gonna lie. There were many, many, many times I didn't cry to my cousins, my mama. I just want to go home. But nobody would let me give up. Like, even at work, my coworker was like, you know, just give it 3 more months. You know, just don't give up so quick, easily. So I'm like, okay.
Absolutely. Girl, keep pushing. Because it's the reason. It's the reason that you're there. And it's further than a dream. It's just...
Yes.
Once you kind of get around to it, you know, because you're flourishing there in its own little way, even though, you know, I mean, people... I guess the thing about when you're doing something new or something a little bit outside of your comfort zone, Because I think that's really what it is when things are a little bit outside of our comfort zone and we're not fully certain of each and every step of the way, we kind of be like, okay, the first time something fell, I'm ready to go. I don't want to do this anymore. I'm going to go back to something I'm used to. That might not be the answer. The answer might be to continue to push. Because it might not just help you in the process. It might help somebody else. Like somebody else might be hearing this story on the podcast and they might be like, you know, I've been contemplating on this, been contemplating on starting a business, or I've been contemplating on moving, I've been contemplating on going back to school, which sidebar y'all, if y'all are trying to plan on going back to school or if you are trying to open up a business, even though this is a time of uncertainty, a lot of schools are allowing you to get into your programs without test scores, including graduate schools and doctoral schools and et cetera, or even for a bachelor's. But, you know, just a little sidebar, if you guys are choosing to attend school or anything or contemplating on what your next move is going to be, you know, write it down, pray about it, do the little bit of work that you can do, and let God take care of the rest. Because it's all meant for us to go through certain things, good and sometimes bad. And bad is not always something just traumatic, but it might be a lesson learned of how to make things do or to teach somebody else how to make something work. So, but girl, it is also a blessing that you're here because you said you got hit by 18.
Yes, yes. I'm glad I'm walking.
That is a blessing.
I came away with 6 herniated discs, but, you know, I'm good again. Ooh. I'm walking. That's why I can't stress enough. I'm walking. I am walking.
Absolutely. So what would you tell someone that may be afraid or, you know, maybe kind of like skeptical or just unsure if they, you know, are, you know, contemplating on taking this leap of faith?
Oh, well, I'm going to give you this. Okay. Trust in God with all thine heart, because your flesh will lead you wrong. Lean not to your own understanding, or the fear will continue to carry on. In all your ways, acknowledge him, because he will give you guidance and direction down the proper path, and you will come to realize that the leap of faith was not so bad.
Absolutely. Now, repeat that again for the folks in the back.
Lord. Okay, I got you, sis. Trust in God with all thine heart, because your flesh will lead you wrong. Lean not to your own understanding, or the fear will continue to carry on. In all your ways, acknowledge him, because he will give you guidance and direction down the proper path. And you will come to realize that that leap of faith you contemplated on was not so bad.
Amen. That is a word. You said it twice. I hope the folks done wrote it down and let it marinate.
Yes.
Let it marinate like neck bone juice. Like
go to sleep on it.
Yeah. This has been a conversation is so good right now, but gotta, you know, pay a couple of bills and then we'll get back and talk a little bit more with Miss Nikki. All right. We are back and I kind of want to switch up the conversation a little bit to discuss your modeling career, because you said you're, you know, curvy runway model. And you have been slaying on the runway as well as the workout room. Just want to give you those kudos because you've been cutting up on social media.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Could you inform the listeners on some of your recent work and how can they follow you if there are any brands or designers that would like to check you out?
Yes. Okay. So I've been on my first magazine cover this year with Hot Girl Magazine with Jag the Poet. I've had my first feature this year in Fashique Magazine with Mary Booper. I've had a print on thecurvystyler.com with Jay Shell Jones. I was the model spotlight for that issue. I was a feature ad model for Taps, Thick and Proud Sisters in the Jackson Free Press magazine under Fumi Queen Franklin. I've been in fashion shows such as Mystique Love with E. Willander Wells. By V Boutique here in Atlanta with Veronique Pearson and Pink the Runway with Angel Lee. And as far as social media, you can follow both of my Instagrams at CPM underscore Nikki NIKKI Wolf WOLFE. And that's CPM as in man. And then talented, the number one, underscore 90, or curvy plus model, Nikuita, which is NIQUITTA, Nikki Wolf. And that is how you can hit me up on social media.
So y'all heard it now. So y'all designers and boutique owners or anyone that's like gonna do like a show after this corona stuff ends, or if you need a virtual model, maybe you can send some of your pieces to her and maybe she can model them for you, or y'all can set up like
and
a photo shoot.
And I have the space to do so.
See, y'all heard them. And y'all saw the flyer, so y'all know what she's looking like. But definitely check her out. But seriously, like, what do you think about the fashion industry today in regards to plus size models? Like, do you think it's gotten better or
it has gotten a whole lot better from when I first started, which was back in November 7, 2013 was my very, very first fashion show. And again, that was with Taps. So, of course, all of the boutiques had to cater to thick women. But once I started doing shows with other people, I began to realize, you know, there's not that much out there for us. I've been to castings like, why do you say all sizes when you can't cater to every size? Like, this false advertising. Just want to put it out there. But I've been in shows where there's like only one designer that has enough clothes for you. So that's why they only chose like two or three plus size models out of all the ones that have come. I have been indirectly told that they didn't think that I was going to last on the runway. And I was literally told, you know, they don't have insurance on the models. And I'm like, so you think I'm a pass that or something? You have to call the hospital? Like, really? But, you know, I walked out with my head up. I did. I was hurt. I was real hurt, but I walked out. And so I would say about 5 or 6 years in, so about the year before last, it started getting better because more plus size boutiques started coming about, like a whole lot more. And so now you have these plus size designers with plus size clothes because they know how it feels, and shout out to them for, you know, stepping out. And now there are more options for plus size models. And then you have shows now to where the shows only cater to plus size models. So again, they have no choice but to have clothes to fit every model. And then there are a lot of there are a lot of designers out there who have online boutiques. So like you just said, you can become a brand ambassador for them. And again, they will send you clothes and you take nice pictures, or, you know, hire your own photographer and get a portfolio built up. You know, it's very easy now compared to back then, because I am now more active in shows versus when I first started. And I'm loving it.
Absolutely. Well, let's talk back a little bit of what you mentioned earlier about that runway not big enough. Like, how do you feel when you hear, I guess, like, negative statements? Because, see, people think that, I guess, and it's nothing against anyone who are casting models and things like that, but, you know, words hurt. And people don't know, you know, people be like, oh, it's a fashion show. The models just, they just walk and da-da-da-da. Tell about, like, your experience when you were doing, like, the castings. Because, like I said, people just see the final product. They don't know it's a selection process a lot of times.
Yes. Like you just said, words do hurt. And it got to the point where it became a little discouraging, because it's like, okay, so I'm trying, again, going back to flyers saying all sizes welcome, but you're not fulfilling what you're advertising. Like, what's the point in having us come if you're only going to have one designer, or if you're going to think that your one way is not long enough? I mean, it's too long, rather, for me to walk on. Like, I didn't understand that. And so it took me back to past insecurities that I've had before about my weight. So here I am, supposed to be an advocate for plus size models, and I'm getting crushed like this. I can't go back and tell people that. Like, that's another thing I've learned, like, being in this industry. There are no such thing as feelings. Just to be real, like, the deeper I get into it, like, the higher up I've gone dealing with certain people, like, there are no feelings. If they tell you something, you just have to take the constructive criticism, or take it as constructive criticism, and, you know, adhere to what they're saying, and you have to decide within yourself if you want it bad enough to change it. And it's crazy, because even for smaller models, like, I remember being at a casting and there was a girl there who had to leave because she was about to pass out. And she was so small. She was so small. And they told us about, you know, models doing that, not eating just to be a certain size, because me, I couldn't go to Paris and expect to just jump on somebody runway like that with me being a plus size model, from what I know, from what I've seen. So there are females out there doing that just to make it all the way there. Even, I think there was a guy that died not too long ago, either last year or the year before, from the same issue. He died on the runway. On the runway. And then they don't think about the fact that there are some healthy people, per se, you know, I don't like to say big or fat, so that are in better health than smaller people. I know some who can take off running and, you know, be smaller people at doing it. Just because you're small doesn't mean you're in shape. You don't know what this person do. They may have the genes in them to where, you know, they're just like that. They're just built like that. Their family is built like that. You have to take stuff like that into consideration. I know that, you know, the industry is tough or whatever, but people have feelings.
That is definitely true. And I mean, that's kind of all of, I guess, the beauty industry, aesthetically, even with pageantry, is kind of the same, where it can be a little intimidating in some cases. So I definitely can feel you on those experiences. But you say to somebody that, you know, like you mentioned earlier, with the like negative statements and stuff, what would you tell them, or ways to encourage them to continue on?
Well, I would first again go back to talking about feelings. Like, you have to be tough, you have to be strong minded, because if you aren't, then you will get in your feelings and you will allow everything that that person is saying to you or the disappointment that you're receiving to take over you. And that's not what you want to do. So you have to have a very, very, very strong mindset so you will not allow your feelings to take over. And then another thing I would say is your health. Like, I was getting bigger, but I didn't really care because, okay, I'm a plus size model. It's okay for me to be big. And so I was getting more into modeling and being in more shows. And at that time, I had Queen come to me and she was like, if you're going to do this, like, if you're going to make a career out of this, you're going to have to lose weight. And so she wasn't saying as far as being a smaller model. She was saying as far as my health, like walking in shoes is an exercise. You on the track, you're just walking in some tennis shoes and you're exercising. So imagine walking up a runway, back, going back, changing clothes, going back out there again, walking back up that runway, coming back down that runway. Going back, change the clothes, walking up again in heels the entire time. And then certain people require a certain inch on your heel and you can't go below that inch. So you have to know how to walk in high heels. You're using your legs, you're using your calf muscles. And so the more weight that's coming down on your knees, it is not good. It's not healthy. And I realized that being in a fashion show. I was for Jackson Fashion Week with Franny Simpson. And in fact, it was at Freelance. And I had just gotten done modeling a snake. And so I was in the next scene. So I had to go back after I've just carried, ain't no telling how much this thing weighed. It was a python. So gave that back, changed clothes, put some more clothes back on, changed shoes, had to be back out there. And so, I don't know. I probably should have drunk some water. I don't know. But we were moving so fast. And then again, I just got through carrying this big old snake. And so, I'm just like, you know, give me a break. Give me 2 minutes. But we didn't have 2 minutes. And so, when I walked back out there, by the time I made it to the end of the first half of the runway, my ankles buckled, and so my legs were so weak I couldn't even walk right. I couldn't walk straight. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I literally had to walk on my ankles because they wouldn't come from being sideways, and I was about to pass out. Like, I had got so hot and I just couldn't do it. So I had to sit out for a couple of the scenes. And then, you know, find out that my high blood pressure was coming back. So, you know, you get too hot with high blood pressure, it's just a bad mixture. And so I was on the verge of being type 2 diabetic. And I refused to go that route. Some people, like I said earlier, they can be healthy and still run a mile or, you know, do certain activities, but some people are just not meant to be big. And I'm one of those people, because the bigger that I get, the worse my health get. So I had no choice but to lose weight. And so, you know, if you're going to do that, then You have to be healthy mentally, physically, and socially. No attitudes. You have to learn how to control your attitude. Because again, they tell you what they want to tell you. You have to take it as constructive criticism. You have to. And that goes back to determination and ambition. How bad you want it. So with those things, I feel like, you know, you would definitely make it.
Absolutely. Let's go back about this snake, though, because I do remember that fashion show, y'all. Rest in peace to the snake man, because, like, this fashion show here, Franna really came with it. Y'all, like, how can I say this? So it was very, very creative, y'all. So I'm gonna give y'all a visual in your head. All right. So Britney Spears, I think I'm a slave for you. Was it I'm a slave for you? Where she had the big yellow python around her. All right. So in this particular fashion show, your girl here had the python around. I think it was two models had pythons walking down. With the python slithering around them and they carrying it. So, but seriously, that was a sight to see. I don't know if there's any pictures of that, but I do remember that particular fashion show. But, you know, people think that modeling is just a talent, a little sad gig or whatever.
Oh, no.
But it's a lot to it, and I commend y'all. Like, you know, we was talking earlier, sidebar about it. Like, pageants is one thing, but modeling is a whole nother area. But some people can do both, but it's a lot of work. And if you could for a second, just kind of tell, I guess. Not all the tips, because you done gave enough jewels a second ago. But just like the importance of health. You mentioned about like you kind of having a slight being diabetic, type 2 diabetes and high blood pressure. Just kind of inform the listeners like the importance of like changing your diet and the different things that you kind of did to make it work. To where you are now, because again, like you mentioned earlier, you know, people think you got a little weight on you. Oh, I'm gonna just be a plus size model. Well, it's still a lifestyle that you have to have in order to maintain and still be on that runway.
Yes. Even modeling boot camps, you're exercising. I've heard of people having to exercise in their heels. I remember with Supermodel Jackson, Victoria used to have us stretching in our heels. Like, it's not just you getting out there and walking in some clothes. Like, there's stuff going on behind the scenes that you may not even know about. Like, there was work being put in. I remember, if I'm not mistaken, that was Pink the Runway. When I was in Pink the Runway, the show was supposed to be outside. And I do mean outside. Like, there was not going to be a runway. We were walking up a street, per concrete, up a street that people drive on. And no, the street was not short. It was about a mile. It had to be. She didn't make us walk the entire thing, but we went long enough. And think about the crooks and cracks in a street. And so you're walking down this in heels.
Let's say Jackson Streets.
Exactly. They were Jackson Streets. Right in front of, by the art museum, to be exact. And we are outside in the sun. So if you don't drink a lot of water and you don't exercise on a regular, Do you really think you will be able to walk up a street, little bumps here and there, cracks here and there, you got to manage? Not if your heel go in the street, you still got to walk right. And you have to manage being able to do that. So you have to have the leg strength to be able to do that. Meaning you're going to have upper body strength to keep your legs intact to be able to do that. Yes, you can still be thick and in shape. Again, I have seen it. It is possible. But you have to be in shape. And then, again, like having high blood pressure, you can't have that and get hot. Because you will pass out, especially if you're on high blood pressure pills, which is why I did not want to go back to that. There's absolutely no way I will allow myself to go back to it again. I had gotten so big to the point where I had high blood pressure, high cholesterol, and I was type 2 diabetic. And so I had an irregular heartbeat, and I even had to be supervised when I was exercising. With the type 2 diabetes, there were even some fruits that I couldn't eat because they produced their own sugars. So, like, again, it's far beyond walking up and down that runway. Because when you get in those shows to where you have, I say, at the most I've had is about four to five designers that I've had to walk for. Now, you've had some shows where there are a lot of models. And you're not just going back to back like that. But then you have some where there may be only 10 to 15. And then it's going so fast, you know, you really have at the most a minute to 2 minutes to get dressed. So if you're not in shape enough for that, then you're liable to pass out again. If you have an irregular heartbeat, and you're walking, and as you're walking, your heart is beating fast as if you took off into a full sprint, you're liable to pass out. And, like, you know, I understand what I was being told when they told me they didn't have insurance on the models. It could have been done in a better way, but I understand, because then that's on them because you passed out at their show. Not saying that it's, you know, it's controllable. I can't say it's uncontrollable, but, you know, stuff happens unexpectedly. And so having health like that, it goes beyond you modeling. Like, your life is on the line. So you have to think about all of it. And again, that goes back to you having the mindset for it. So that is why I am learning to research things. If you want to get into doing something, whether it be modeling, singing, acting, whatever it is, research it. See what you got to do before, you know, it actually happens. Because I'm even learning now with acting. Like, there is so much more that you have to go through to get to being in somebody's show. Classes, reels, like, there's a lot. So again, going back to the process, it's a process to everything. But if you don't have a mind for it, you're not going to do the process.
Absolutely. I know I keep saying absolutely, but I'm agreeing.
It's okay.
You're definitely right on that. I guess people, like how we mentioned earlier with this like microwave society, they think that it's like a quick switch. And of course, like, people do salt out people or look out for individuals utilizing social media, but you still got to take that time out to, in order to even reach those levels that you mentioned, you have to do some research and understand the craft, because there is respect behind the craft. It has to take place in order for you to make it or maneuver through, or even if it's just networking with individuals that's already in the industry, whatever particular industry that you want to go into, and try to network with the correct people, having positive influences to get you to go in the right path. Because of course anybody can sell you a dream, but it it takes a lot of discernment, determination, like you mentioned, you know, the ability to actually make this thing happen. But it all kind of starts with sometimes taking pen and paper or cell phone or writing down a note or just kind of planning out, okay, all right, 6 months from now, I want to be a model. But first, I got to get my health and my mind intact.
Mm-hmm.
I might also at the same time do a little research and network with people like Miss Nikki here about modeling, mm-hmm. or whatever. You know, you find somebody, you see their work, you see how they are as an individual, which is very important. With networking with people, it's not just about where they are, but it's about them as the individual. Because that's what's going to help you and guide you and continue to mold you where you got to go. Because influences are all around, but the person and the individual itself is always important. So that's really, really good, Nikki. I really, 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 really am liking this conversation.
Yes.
Do you have any like kind of final words of encouragement to, of course you gave them a lot of jewels, but is there any other words of encouragement that you would like to tell the listeners about the industry or about yourself or anything like that?
The last thing I would say is stay focused. Because it is very, 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 very easy to be distracted when you're on a path of moving forward towards your destiny and your purpose in life and the things that you want to fulfill in life. Because the enemy knows where you're trying to go and what will happen when God gets you there, the greatness that will come from it. So it's going to be an obstacle course. Again, going back to the process, stuff will happen along the way. So you got to be ready for that. And you got to stay focused. Like, no matter how hard it gets, even if you do want to throw the towel in, have your little pita party, but bounce back from it. Because, you know, there's life. Stuff happens. Stuff that we can't control. But you got to keep going. So when you're focused and, again, determined, and you know where you're trying to go, you'll get there.
Yeah. Like Kalia say, at first you don't succeed, but next you dust yourself off and try again. I know. I use song all the time.
Yes,
that's
yes.
That's a great
good one though.
A good good quote.
Yeah.
But I hope that, you know, whoever is listening, truly, like, reconsider their doubts, reconsider their insecurities, and just follow their dreams, because everybody has destiny built somewhere. Yes. I don't know where, I don't know how. It may look different to some, may look familiar to others, but everybody has a place where they're supposed to be. And sometimes you are going to recreate yourself a lot of times. So don't be afraid to, okay, right now, if you are 17 or 16, you know, if our younger listeners, you may, because I know right now y'all are especially applying like for colleges or trying to find a job or something like that. If you are graduating, whatever you're doing right now, that's one goal. But maybe some years later, you might decide this is not the career path I want to go on. I might want to do something else. Go with whatever your heart desires, but make sure that it's something that will uplift and empower you to go and move to the next level. And it doesn't mean next level as in money or success, but to make it to the next level to inspire other people. Because of course you can make all the money in the world, but if you're not giving it back to those that truly need it, it's almost as if you really didn't make it anywhere. So this is really moving. You know, just we talked about so much, from moving to modeling to utilizing artistic, your path of just everything on this episode. So I hope that like others have learned about like how you manifest your dreams and you're continuously doing these things. And I really want people to, again, I know we mentioned it earlier about you know, your social media handles, but I really want you to inform the listeners again on your contact information and how to reach you on social media or email about any upcoming projects or anything that they might want to connect with you on, especially that you in like Black Hollywood Atlanta. So how they could connect with you.
Okay, so again, my Instagram names are Talented, the number one, underscore 90, and CPM, as in man, underscore NIKKIWOLFE. And then my Facebook modeling page is Curvy Plus Model. My first name is NIQUITTA, and then it's Nikki, and then Wolf. As far as my ministry goes, you can email me at inspireme, the letters IYNA, the number 18 at gmail.com. If you have any questions, you need any encouragement, want to talk, you know, just email me there. And then as far as modeling, you can email Diva Day, I, the letter N as in Nancy, T at gmail.com. And then as far as things that I have coming up on the 14th of April, I will start my YouTube channel. Well, I have the channel already, but there will be like a show, a little segment on there called Talk Time Tuesday, and I'm going to start off with doing one every month until, you know, I get into it more. And you can follow me on YouTube also at Inspire Me, the letters I, Y, and A. And on that same day, I will be releasing my second book, Poetic Testimonies, Lord Help Me Trust You. So look for me on the 14th of April. I will be turning up for a check.
Oh, goodness. Okay. Well, congratulations on your show and your book, because I didn't know about that.
Thank you.
So, you're welcome. So, that is really, 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 really good. I hope that the listeners do continue to follow you and your ministry. Well, really, all of it's a ministry, Nikki. Okay. All of these are ministries. So it's just great that you're utilizing your gifts to actually empower others, and that's really why you're on the show. Which I am happy that you actually signed up to be a guest on here so that you can influence other people. Yeah. At this moment for myself, I actually just opened my boutique for my pageant consulting business, Crown by Christian. I know the boutique is called the Crown Closet. I will put a link in the show notes, just like I put your information as well in the show notes for people to follow and support, because support is always needed. And I'm also taking contestants to prepare for their local, collegiate, state, national, international, whatever. If they're preparing for a pageant, I'm your girl. Even if you are a pageant director, I am working with the current pageant system right now for a state pageant that the girls are preparing, did a session yesterday, which went very, very well. So if you are looking for someone to do some type of pageant coaching or consultation, I'm here. You can just set up a consultation with me, and I'll put the link in there for you to kind of sign up or send out an email. But if you want to network with me on any other projects, including being on the show for season 2, because I got all my guests for season 1.
Yeah.
However, if you are interested in season 2 or just kind of want to learn more about the podcast or the page or anything, you guys can send me an email or follow me on Instagram. Empower Her Podcast is EMPOWERHER podcast at gmail.com. But again, thank you, Nikki, for being on today's episode.
Thank you for having me.
Girl, you're welcome. I truly enjoyed our conversation, and I definitely hope the listeners out here did too. But until next time, this is episode 7 of the Empower Her podcast of Chrissississippi. Our next episode is next week, y'all, so I'm not taking any more breaks. Well, not any more breaks right now. So please continue to support by subscribing, rating, and sharing this episode. Bye-bye. Bye.